The Little Clown. Chapter 1. How IT began. Jimmy was nearly 8 years of age when these strange things happened to him. His full name was James Orchardson Sinclair Wilmot, and he had been at Miss Lawson's small school at Ramsgate since he was 6. There were only 5 boys besides himself, and Miss Roberts was the only governess besides Miss Lawson. The half term had just passed, and they did not expect to go home for the Christmas holidays for another 4 or 5 weeks, until one day Miss Lawson became very ill, and her sister, Miss Rosina, was sent for. It was on Friday that Miss Rosina told the boys that she had written to their parents and that they would all be sent home on Tuesday, and no doubt Jimmy might have felt as glad as the rest if he had had a home to be sent to. But the fact was that he had never seen his father or mother, or at least he had no recollection of them. And he had never seen his sister Winnie, who was born in the West Indies. One of the boys had told Jimmy she must be a little black girl, and Jimmy did not quite know whether to believe him or not. When he was 2 years of age, his father and mother left England, and although that was nearly 6 years ago, they had not been back since. Jimmy had lived with his Aunt Ellen at Chesterham until he came to school, but afterwards his holidays were spent with another uncle and aunt in London. His mother wrote to him every month, nice long letters, which Jimmy always answered, although he did not always know quite what to say to her. But last month there had come no letter, and the month before that Mrs. Wilmot had said something about seeing Jimmy soon. When he heard the other boys talk about their fathers and mothers and sisters, it seemed strange that he did not know what his own were like. For you cannot always tell what a person is like from her photograph, and although his mother looked young and pretty in hers, Jimmy did not know whether she was tall or short or dark or fair, but sometimes, especially after the gas was turned out at night, he felt that he should very much like to know. On Monday evening, whilst Jimmy was sitting at the desk in the schoolroom sticking some postage stamps in his album, he was told to go to the drawing room, where he found Miss Rosina sitting beside a large fire. "Is your name Wilmot?" she asked, for she had not learned all the boys' names yet. "James Orchardson Sinclair Wilmot," he answered. "A long name for such a small boy," said Miss Rosina. "It is very strange," she continued, "that all the boys' parents have answered my letters but yours."
"Mine couldn't answer," said Jimmy.
"Why not?" asked Miss Rosina.
"Because they live such a long way off."
"I remember," said Miss Rosina, "it was to your uncle that I wrote. I asked him to send someone to meet you at Victoria Station at 1 o'clock tomorrow. But he has not answered my letter, and it is very inconvenient."
"Is it?" asked Jimmy solemnly, with his eyes fixed on her face.
"Why, of course it is," said Miss Rosina. "Suppose I don't have a letter before you start tomorrow morning. I shall not know whether anyone is coming to meet you or not. And what would Miss Roberts do with you in that case?"
"I don't know," answered Jimmy, beginning to look rather anxious.
"I'm sure I don't know either," said Miss Rosina. "But," she added, "I trust I may hear from your uncle before you start tomorrow morning."
"I hope you will," cried Jimmy, and he went back to the schoolroom wondering what would happen to him if his Uncle Henry did not write. Whilst the other boys were saying what wonderful things they intended to do during the holidays, he wished that his father and mother were in England the same as theirs. He could not go to sleep very early that night for thinking of tomorrow, and when the bell rang at 7 o'clock the next morning he dressed quickly and came downstairs first to look for Miss Rosina.
"Please, have you had a letter from Uncle Henry yet?" he asked.
"No, I am sorry to say I have not," was the answer. "I cannot understand it at all. I am sure I don't know what is to be done with you."
"Couldn't I stay here?" cried Jimmy.
"Certainly not," said Miss Rosina.
"Why not?" asked Jimmy, who always liked to have a reason for everything.
"Because Miss Lawson is not going to keep his school anymore."
"But," exclaimed Miss Rosina, "go to your breakfast, and I will speak to you again afterwards." Chapter 2. Jimmy goes to London. As he sat at breakfast, Jimmy saw a large railway van stop at the door, with a porter sitting on the board behind. The driver climbed down from his high seat in front, and the two men began to carry out the boxes. Jimmy saw his clothes box carried out, then his play box, so that he knew that he was to go to London with the rest, although Miss Rosina had not heard from his uncle.
"Jimmy," said Miss Roberts after breakfast, "Miss Rosina wants to see you in the drawing room. You must go at once."
So he went to the drawing room, tapped at the door, and was told to enter.
"It is very annoying that your uncle has not answered my letter," said Miss Rosina, looking as angry as if Jimmy were to blame for it.
"He couldn't answer if he didn't get it," cried Jimmy.
"Of course not," said Miss Rosina, "but I sincerely hope he did get it."
"So do I," answered Jimmy.
Perhaps he will send to meet you although he has not written to say so, said Miss Rosina. Perhaps he will, replied Jimmy thoughtfully. But, Miss Rosina continued, if he doesn't send to meet you, Miss Roberts must take you to his house in Brook Street in a cab. Only suppose he isn't there, exclaimed Jimmy. At all events the servants will be there. Only suppose they're not. Surely, said Miss Rosina, they would not leave the house without anyone in it. If Uncle Henry and Aunt Mary have gone to France they might. Do they often go to France? Asked Miss Rosina. They go sometimes, said Jimmy, because Aunt Mary writes to me, and I've got the stamps in my album. And then they leave the house empty and shut the shutters and put newspapers in all the windows, you know. Whilst Jimmy stood on the hearthrug, Miss Rosina sat in an armchair staring seriously at the fire. Have you any other relations in London? She asked, a few moments later. No, said Jimmy. Think, now, she continued. Are you sure there is nobody? At least, cried Jimmy, there's only Aunt Selina. Where does your Aunt Selina live? Asked Miss Rosina, looking a great deal more pleased than Jimmy felt. He put his small hands together behind his back, and took a step closer. Please, he said, I don't want to go to Aunt Selina's. Tell me where she lives, answered Miss Rosina. I think it's somewhere called Gloucester Place, said Jimmy, but, please, I'd rather not go. You silly child. You must go somewhere. Yes, I know, said Jimmy, but I'd rather not go to Aunt Selina's. What is her number in Gloucester Place? Asked Miss Rosina. I don't know the number, cried Jimmy much more cheerfully, because he thought that as he did not know the number, Miss Rosina could not very well send him to the house. What is your aunt's name? Is it Wilmot? Miss Rosina asked. No, it isn't Wilmot, said Jimmy. Do you know what it is? She demanded, and Jimmy began to wish he didn't know, but Aunt Selina always wrote on his birthday, although it wasn't much use as she never sent him a present. Her name's Morton, he answered. Mrs. Morton or Miss Morton? Miss Morton, because she's never been married, said Jimmy. Very well then, was the answer, if nobody comes to meet you at Victoria Station Mississippi Roberts will take you in a cab to Brook Street, and if your Uncle Henry is not there. I hope he will be, cried Jimmy. So do I, Miss Rosina continued, because Miss Roberts will not have much time to spare. She will take you to Brook Street, but if the house is empty, then she will go on to Miss Morton's in Gloucester Place. But how can she if she doesn't know the number? Said Jimmy. Miss Roberts will easily be able to find your aunt's house, was the answer. Oh! Cried Jimmy in a disappointed tone, and then he was sent back to the other boys. When it was time to start to the railway station Miss Rosina went on first in a fly to take the tickets, and they found her waiting for them on the platform. They all got into a carriage, and Jimmy sat next to Miss Roberts, who asked him soon after the train started, why he looked so miserable. I do hope that Uncle Henry will send someone to meet me, he answered. I hope so too, said Miss Roberts, who was much younger than Miss Rosina, because I have to travel to the north of England, and it is a very long journey. I shall only just have time to drive to the other station to catch my train. But suppose you don't catch it? Asked Jimmy. That would be extremely inconvenient, she explained, because I should either have to travel all night or else to sleep at an hotel in London. But I hope your uncle will come to meet you. Long before the train reached London, Jimmy began to look anxiously out at the window. Presently it stopped on a bridge over the Thames, and a man came to collect the tickets, and soon after the train moved on again Jimmy saw that he was at Victoria. The door was opened, and all the other boys jumped out, and whilst they were shaking hands with their fathers and mothers Jimmy stood alone on the platform. He looked wistfully at every face in the small crowd, but he did not know one of them, and it was plain that nobody had been sent to meet him. He followed Miss Roberts towards the luggage van and saw his own boxes taken out with the rest, and then one by one the boys got into cabs and were driven away, and Jimmy began to feel more miserable than ever. His boxes stood beside Miss Roberts's, and she looked up and down the platform almost as anxiously as the boy, for she was in a great hurry to go. Well, Jimmy, she said, nobody seems to have come for you. No, answered Jimmy. It is really very annoying, cried Miss Roberts, looking at her watch. Perhaps Uncle Henry has made a mistake in the time, said Jimmy. I think the best thing we can do is to take a cab to Brook Street, was the answer. Mightn't we wait just a little longer? He asked. No, said Miss Roberts, we have lost quite enough time already. Hi! Cab! She exclaimed, and a four-wheeled cab was driven up beside the boxes. Then a porter lifted these, one by one, and put them on top of the cab. "Get in," said Miss Roberts, and with a last glance along the platform, Jimmy entered the cab and sat down. Then Miss Roberts stepped in also, the old cab horse started, and Jimmy was driven out of the gloomy railway station. "I hope Uncle Henry will be at home," he said presently.
"So do I," answered Miss Roberts. "I have not a minute to spare."
"Perhaps you won't have time to take me to Aunt Selina's," exclaimed Jimmy.
"What do you suppose I am to do with you then?" she asked.
"I don't know," he said, "only I don't want to go there."
"I am sure I don't want to have to take you there," was the answer, as the cab passed Hyde Park.
Jimmy had been the same way every holiday since he had gone to Miss Lawson's school, so that he knew he was drawing near to Brook Street. As the cab turned the corner, he put his head out at the window and looked anxiously for his uncle's house.
"Oh!" he cried, drawing it in again.
"What is the matter?" asked Miss Roberts.
"I believe the shutters are up," said Jimmy.
Chapter 3. At Aunt Selina's. Jimmy was quite right. Miss Roberts leaned forward to put her head out at the window on his side of the cab, and she saw that every shutter was shut, and that there was a sheet of newspaper in each window.
"What a nuisance!" she exclaimed, sitting down again as the horse stopped. The cabman got down to open the door, and Jimmy jumped out, onto the pavement.
"I dare say they've gone to France," he said, as she followed him.
"Still, there may be someone left in the house," answered Miss Roberts.
"I don't suppose there is," said Jimmy, looking as if he were going to cry.
"At all events, I will ring the bell," she answered, and Miss Roberts pulled the bell. Jimmy heard it ring quite distinctly, but nobody came to open the door.
"Do ring again," he said, and once more Miss Roberts pulled the bell. Then a policeman came along the street, and she went to meet him.
"Do you know whether this house is empty?" she asked.
"Been empty the last fortnight," said the policeman.
"Thank you," said Miss Roberts. And then she turned to Jimmy. "Go back into the cab," she continued, and very unwillingly he took his seat again.
"Gloucester Place, cabman," she said, with her hand on the door.
"What number?" asked the cabman.
We don't know the number," cried Jimmy, putting his head out.
"Stop at a shop on the way," said Miss Roberts as she entered the cab and sat down. "If I waste any more time, I shall lose my train."
"But suppose Aunt Selina isn't at home either?" exclaimed Jimmy, as the horse started once more.
"In that case, I don't know what is to become of you," said Miss Roberts.
"Because she may have gone to France with Uncle Henry," Jimmy suggested.
"We will not imagine anything of the kind, if you please."
"No," said Jimmy, "but suppose she has gone to France, you know."
As he spoke, the cab stopped before a large grocer's shop, and without losing a moment Miss Roberts stepped out of the cab, followed by Jimmy.
"Will you kindly let me look at a directory?" she asked, and the tall young man behind the counter said.
"Certainly, miss." He brought the thickest red book which Jimmy had ever seen, and Miss Roberts opened it at once.
"Miss Selina Morton, is that your aunt's name?" she asked, looking round at Jimmy.
"Yes," he answered sorrowfully, for he guessed that she had found out the number.
"Come along then," said Miss Roberts, and Jimmy walked slowly towards the door.
"Thank you, I am very much obliged," she continued, smiling at the shopman, but Jimmy did not feel in the least obliged to him.
Miss Roberts told the cabman the number, and when the horse started again she turned cheerfully to the boy.
"We shall soon be there now," she said.
"I wish we shouldn't," answered Jimmy.
"Don't you like